Shalom Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile, between black and white, between male and female, to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guess, red hot is almost an understatement for Todd White. Todd has a special anointing of words of knowledge to talk to people in the street, to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Todd, out of curiosity, is it easier to get a Christian that believes in healing, that has been in the church for 30 years, that has never experienced a healing themselves and seen very little? Is it difficult to get someone like that healed, or is it easier to get a non-believer in the street healed?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked that. One of the things that is so important is destroying lies, because strongholds are produced actually where someone has preached from a pulpit, let's say to a Christian that's been in the church for 30 years, where they've preached out of personal experience that didn't line up with what the Word of God says. So now what they do is they preach that, and it's counter to what the Word says at the cost of God's Word, because they have to explain something that's happened in their life. So now you encounter that person out there on the street, or you encounter that person at Walmart, because it's not just street evangelism. This is a kingdom lifestyle of 24/7 living for Him and not for me, because I've laid my life down. So this thing is so amazing that when I approach somebody, no matter what they believe, no matter what they've been taught, that has nothing to do with what I believe as the representative of God. So what I believe will trump their unbelief, because it says these signs will follow those that believe. It doesn't say these signs will follow those being prayed for. It doesn't matter where a person is. It matters where I am, because I'm the ambassador. I'm the representative. So when I pray for somebody, I don't see any worse case scenario, whether praying for somebody that's been in the church. All I need to do is get my hands on them. And sometimes that's not even necessary. But I don't see any more resistance as far as healing comes for an unbeliever and somebody that's been raised in religion for 45 years.
Tell me some of your favorite experiences.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me just real quick just destroy one lie. We've been taught that when you pray for somebody, you have to be careful. You don't want to lay hands on anybody too hastily. And that's in Timothy, and it talks about that. But when it talks about it in Timothy, it talks about it as far as ordination of people into leadership and deaconship. It talks about ordaining people into office. It has nothing to do with praying for people that are New Age or that are witches or that are occult. It doesn't matter.
So you have no problem laying hands on someone that you know is a New Ager?
Oh, I love it, because they'll see God. I love that. That's so good.
Now, do most people feel the presence of God when you lay hands on them and pray for them?
Well, sure.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah, because I don't have, my motivation is love. And so if that's Jesus' motivation and people felt the presence of God when Jesus touched them, then the same thing should happen through me. So what I do is I'm the representative. I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about. When we went to Walmart 2 years ago, my wife and I did, and we were going in, and these two people walked by the front of the truck, or the front of the vehicle, and they were garbed out in black, and the guy had tattoos down both sides of his cheeks, down his eyes, the whole way down. And my wife said, "Oh, my goodness." And I said, "Oh man, God is so gonna land on them. This is gonna be so good." So we went in. I didn't chase them down or anything, but I know that God will line it up because He wants to touch them. So I walk down the aisle in Walmart, and they're at the end of the aisle. So I go up to these two people, and I said, "Hey," I said, "How you doing today?" And the lady looks at me, kind of like drops her chin down and looks with her eyes up, and she goes, "Fine." And I said, "Wow." I said, "It doesn't sound like fine." I said, "It sounds like you're kind of upset." She goes, "No, I'm fine. What do you want?" I said, "Actually," I said, "I was just coming down here because I'm hearing in my heart that you have a back issue." And she said, "Yeah, so what?" I said, "Well, can I tell you what it is?" She goes, go ahead. And she crossed her arms. And I said to her, I said, well, you've got like a herniated disc and you've got the sciatic stuff down your leg. I said, and it's making your foot numb. She said, yeah, it's hereditary. I said, I know. And actually people were telling you because your father had it, that's why you have it. She goes, that's right. I said, look, I said, since I told you about your back, I say you let me pray for you. She goes, honey, we don't believe in the same thing. I said, really? I said, I'm not concerned about what you believe in. I said, that doesn't matter anything right now. I said, my thing is, let me pray for you. She goes, well, I don't believe in that. I said, good, then let me pray for you. You have nothing to lose. She said, okay. So I prayed for her, and the presence of God swept through her, and her leg and her back got on fire, and her toes immediately denumbed right there. She goes, I don't think you understand. I said, I do. I said, God just healed you. She goes, you don't get it. We don't believe the same thing. I said, well, cool. What do you believe? She said, I'm a satanic high priest. I said, a priestess. I said, awesome. I said, I know a high priest too, and he so loves you. You're amazing. And she is so freaked out, and she starts telling me how she went to seminary school. She took theology, and she was crushed and hurt by people that were teaching in the seminary, and that she turned from that, and she pressed into darkness, because there is a real power of darkness. But the real power of darkness is nothing compared to the kingdom of light that we've been translated into. So all she needs is a God experience to be completely loved on by God himself. She looks at her friend after I shared the kingdom with her, and she had tears in her eyes. She says, I told you Jesus was a cool dude. Now, she's a satanic high priestess for like 12 years, and God landed on her and healed her and loved on her because he loves her. And she's had the gospel misrepresented. And since people have been taught that God's in control, all kinds of stuff is happening, and it's not God behind it. God can make lemonade out of any lemons, but it's not God that gave you the lemons.
You know what that reminds me of? There are many Jewish people, and they're elderly now, that survived Hitler's Holocaust.
Right.
And many of them, let alone, forget Jesus,
right.
They've become atheists because they say, how could a loving God have allowed something like this to happen? What would you say to them?
I would say this. I would say in John 10:10, it's very clear where it talks about the description of the enemy and the description of God, where it says the thief comes, but not just to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come to give them life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And that abundant word means violently excessive life. Now, we know that Satan can't come up into heaven to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's talking about present tense in this life. And we know we'll have abundant life when we get to heaven, but Jesus is talking about abundant life now. So now in my left hand, I have death, loss, and destruction. And in my right hand, I have abundant life. And I would simply ask them, if you were to put in one of these hands what you went through, would it be stealing, killing, and destroying, or would it be the abundant life?
Well, no brainer. It's stealing, killing, and destroying.
Simple. The problem is that we've been taught that, well, God's in control. God's in control. Again, Psalms 115, verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he did give to the children of men. If God was in control, he wouldn't have given it to the children of men. He wouldn't have told us to be stewards over it. He wouldn't have given authority to man. If God was in control, you wouldn't have the power to speak both life and death from your tongue. But because you have free will, you can choose to speak death and mark somebody for loss. Or you can choose to speak life and mark somebody, and God will know who to write the check to by the words of encouragement. That you do, no corrupt words come from out of your mouth, but only that which is used to encourage and edify and build up those who hear you. So God's not in control. He's actually given it to us. We've preached that. And God, if God was in control, then why would I need faith? Why would I need to pray? Because whatever's going to be will be. And if it's impossible to please God without faith, that's just contradictory to what God said. He's not in control, but that is preached, and it's created a passive and complacent church that sits back and gets run over by the enemy, who is death, loss, and destruction. Well, God takes the rap, and Satan slithers away like a snake in the grass. In the garden, he was cursed to crawl on his belly, and in the book of Revelation, he's a seven-headed monster, a dragon. And we've created that. We've allowed him to be that big. If the highest part of hell is beneath the lowest part of us, I think we have to realize who we are And if you want to send a message to Satan, write it on the sole of your shoe.
Tell me about the man that could not bend his leg for over 30 years because he had two steel rods.
Yeah, well, that was a really neat one, too. I was in a church in Virginia, and I was getting ready to preach a service, and it was the first day that I was there. The pastor had just been introduced to me. I haven't really established a relationship before that point. And I have the lapel mic on, and he's about ready to introduce me, and the Holy Spirit says, run outside. So I ran down the side of the church and ran out the front doors, and the pastor is left there. My mic is on, and now I'm running down the sidewalk, and I see a homeless guy that's coming across the street in a wheelchair. So I went up to him, and I said, man, you're the reason why I'm coming out here right now. He said, why? I said, because you're in a wheelchair. I said, and God wants to get you out of there. He goes, well, I don't believe in that. I said, that's okay, man. I said, I'm not asking you to believe in that right now. I said, look, I said, what's going on? What happened? He said, in 1976, I fell off of a bridge, and I severely broke my leg. And what happened is they put two steel rods from his shin on each side of his leg up to the sides of the knee all the way up to the femur, and they put screws in the whole way down. So his leg is literally frozen out there with steel rods, and is calcified because it's been frozen in that place since 1976. I said, man, I got to pray for your leg. He goes, well, I just fell 2 days ago and broke these ribs. I said, are you in pain? He said, oh, it's terrible. I said, well, come on, man, I want to pray for you. And I went to put my hand inside his jacket. He said, don't touch me. And I had to. Even if he hit me, I still have to, because I have to give him the encounter with God that God sent me out there for.
Tomorrow, we'll find out what happened in this encounter.
Jesus told us to heal the sick. Sounds simple, right? Yet many of us have not seen consistent results. According to Todd White, healing is easy. In his brand new CD, Todd will teach you how to renew your mind, to think like Jesus, and to begin healing the sick regardless of their circumstances, attitudes, or unbelief. You can walk in the miraculous just like Jesus did. To receive your copy of Todd White's CD teaching entitled Healing is Easy for a donation of only $16, call us at 1-800-447-2697. First class shipping and handling is included. That's 1-800-447-2697.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.